All right, Robbleger here with Eric Akuchka from Windsor, Ontario. Thanks for joining us. We're going to dive into why digital dentures are so valuable, how they benefit a patient. You know, we talk a lot about materials as far as how these things are made and how they go together and the aesthetics of a digital denture and whether it's printed or whether it's milled and raw material selection and different tooth molds. And Eric, I know you're a KOL for Ivoclar, and you've got a lot of experience with their digital denture system, and you've got a ton of knowledge to share about a lot of things about digital dentures. But today, I just wanted to focus on why digital dentures are valuable to you and to your patients. Just for people who might not know you, maybe you could share quickly just how many years you've been making digital dentures, and maybe how many you've made over those years, and just kind of what your experience is with digital dentures so far.
So I've been involved with manufacturing digital removable prosthetics for just over 4.5 years now. My first experience was utilizing the Avident system. I've also done the Pala system, and more exclusively and on a day-to-day basis now is just the Ivoclar Vivadent digital denture system. I've made over 200 digital dentures, maybe more than that. I know Doug Roberts alone has about 50. So I'm kind of losing track here of how many we're at, but been involved for it for quite some time now. So
awesome. So you've definitely been involved with digital dentures more than most people, and many people look to you as kind of one of the leading experts of it. Are there ever reasons clinically or preference that you would want to make a conventional denture? Are there any indications where digital maybe doesn't apply?
I think currently right now, so the indications or the state in which you definitely need to really turn to conventional as giving you the optimal results still is in the partial denture workflows. Initially in the early stages of the 16 and 17 software, we were tricking the software, making, you know, anatomy bridges with gingiva as our posterior edentulous segments and anterior posterior, you know, designing the frames digitally, whether you're doing a laser sintered with 3D RPD or you were printing your wax up of the framework and casting it in that method. So that was kind of the initial when we were doing digital partial removal over the last few years. Now with the, you know, the new 18 software, and we can now design combination cases and partial dentures, I still think that when doing a cast partial with acrylic teeth, you'd still be most ideal to process that with a injection molding system or a press pack, whichever type of heat process system you like to process the prosthesis with, just to get a really good chemical and mechanical bond with the partial prosthesis. So currently in the metal cast chrome or laser sintered prosthesis for partial, definitely it still needs some tweaking, some engineering and things like that for when we would go to conventional. Back, let's talk previous in the early stages of digital denture with bonded or carded tooth manufacturing workflows. If you had a patient with extremely high aesthetic demands that has to see that shade, has to see that mold, wants the laterals twisted mesially and a distal tilt on this on the central, and all different types of aesthetic characterizations. We all have those patients that need 5, 6, 7, 8 try-ins. Doing that with a carded tooth workflow for a milled wax or even a printed wax with carded teeth, I would definitely contraindicate that in the high aesthetic demand patient. I know Valerie Cooper actually touched on that exact topic at the IDDS in Phoenix this past September. So definitely that, I would see that as an indication. Currently with some hybrid workflows, so what we do in some instances, we either mill or print wax, and we design a mesh framework, whether it's 3D RPD or whichever type of method you like to use for your metal framework. But some of these patients will present to your practice with a cast mesh framework in their existing prosthesis. Now, whether it's clinically relevant or not to that patient, mentally that patient wants that metal framework. So this is a type of design where we would either mill wax, print a base, whichever type of method you like to use, take a wash impression, and then we would do a conventional process with that mesh framework with an IVO base, IVO cap, or whichever method of processing you like to use. So there are still a lot of relevance to conventional processing. Some of the posting I do as well is showing hybrid. So printing wax, milling wax, or printing a base, taking a wash impression, and doing a precision injection molded processing. I know there's many, many labs out there that have IVO-based systems. I look at Aspen Dental as one. I think they have 500 IVO-based units, and we look at affordable. So I don't think conventional processing is going away. I think we need to look at digital dentures overall as a tool and use it as much or as little as you want, be in and out as much or as little as you want. So really, to get back to your question before I keep rambling on, yes, I still use conventional processing for many, many indications.
So, and I get that, and that's a good point. You know, digital dentures are a great tool, right? And if the only tool you have in your toolbox is a hammer, then everything's a nail, right? But obviously, as a good practitioner, you have more than one tool in your toolbox for the varying scenarios. So maybe you could answer this, just so fully edentulous cases that walk in your door, because I totally get the partial framework indication there. But for fully edentulous cases, maybe what percentage are you treating digitally?
Fully edentulous cases, whether it's a full upper or full upper, full lower, I have to say I refuse to make it conventionally.
So 100%.
Yeah. I know how efficient the digital model is. I know the results of the digital model. I know that if my midline is off by even half a millimeter, that takes me about 5 minutes to go back into the software, change my midline. Let's say a little more than 5 minutes. 3Shape needs to get the calculations a little bit quicker as we go through the module. Maybe just be able to take a step over. But no, being able to do those changes and know that, and even in the finalization of the wax up and the investing and the boiling out and the trimming and the polishing. And I like to dress nice at work. You know, I don't like getting dirty, trimming, polishing. I've done my time, and I'll still sit at the and do that. But knowing what it can do, and I think, you know, we'll just reference Crown and Bridge for a minute. I mean, there's the boutique out there, and there are some guys that would love to sit at the bench and hand carve and wax up that crown. But we know we can do it a lot more efficient, more accurate digitally. And that's how I personally feel about complete removable prosthetics.
That's awesome. So for fully edentulous, 100%, and then maybe a few edge cases in rare scenarios where you talked about the high aesthetic demands or whatever, but that's cool. That's interesting. That's exciting. Next thing I want to talk about is just the benefit to the patient, right? So just, I'm a patient in a chair, and you're going to start talking to me about this denture that you're going to make for me. It's a full denture. And what are the benefits you're going to tell me about this digital denture that you're going to make for me? Why should I be interested? How is it going to benefit me as a patient?
It's a great question, and I do this every day. And when I talk to a patient, I sit down and I start with the best, and I go all the way down to the lowest option. So, you talk about a good, better, best. And I do the same thing when we're talking about full arch rehabilitation with implants. So when we talk about digital denture, we sit with the patient and say, okay, Mrs. Smith, could you imagine having a denture that no matter what happens, whether you drop it, lose it in the ocean, your dog takes a bite out of it, you left it in a napkin at the dinner table and someone ended up throwing it out, that within 2 to 3 days, I can have that exact same prosthesis replicated for you without having to take an impression? How would that make you feel? And immediately the patient's, well, how do you do that? And then I, have some demonstration models, and I explain to them, well, this is a digital denture. This is how it's produced. And believe it or not, the senior citizens of today, and let alone senior citizens, geriatric population, the edentulists, the denture wearers of today are more savvy. My grandmother is a 78-year-old Yugoslavian lady that has Facebook. Patients are interested in technology and in digital denture. But data preservation to me is one of the most essential conversations that need to happen with a patient to know that they feel safe and comfortable with that denture. No different than all of us do with photos on our computer. Oh my God, if I lost this, well, you have iPhoto or iCloud back. Let's talk about comfort. Uniform thickness of a removable prosthesis provides a patient an unparalleled comfort that I can't explain. Every digital denture that I've ever created, when the patient comes back for a post-operative assessment, say, these feel so nice. I can't believe how nice they feel. Because as incredible as a lot of us and many of you out there listening are incredible dental technicians and denturists and clinicians, you cannot replicate that palate like a CAD/CAM produced prosthesis can. You can get close, but you can't provide 2.5 or 2.3 or 2.75 millimeters of uniform thickness in the palate and the buccal extensions and the buccal flanges. So that feels very, very comfortable to a patient. And the fit, whether you're printing, milling, we're not going to get into which one fits better, and et cetera, but use ideally in a milled base with a 0% volumetric shrinkage, the dentures do fit more accurately. There are no post-processing deficiencies. So patients find the fit and function. As again, we'll get back to how great a lot of dental technicians, dental professionals are out there at setting denture teeth. These teeth are designed with CAD to have that beautiful bilateral balanced occlusion that we all look for, whether it's, you know, a normal occlusion, 20 degree, lingualized, semi-anatomic, fully anatomic. These teeth are equilibrated in that software to be exactly the way that they want. And that is one thing that is another thing, excuse me, that my patients come back and say, I can't believe how great I can eat. These teeth function.
Yeah, so remember you, Doug Roberts, one of your patients that you work a lot with, he was eating corn on the cob with one of his dentures that you made him. You know, it might as well have been implant retained the way he was chewing through that corn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. I wanted to highlight, I really think the first question you asked the patient was genius. And I want to make sure people capture this and clinicians and labs understand that the first question you asked the patient was, if I could replace this denture for you, how would that make you feel? Right. And I think that's a really important question because, you know, people buy with emotion, and when they get emotionally excited and feel emotionally secure about something, then price doesn't become an option. Right. And it's, and then they're just like, well, yeah, I want that security. I want that, that feeling of security that I can call you on the phone and say, I was swimming in the ocean and a shark ate my denture and I need you to replace it for me. Can you ship me a new one? And I did want to ask that actually, is there ever a scenario where, you can't see a patient or for whatever, and you just reproduce a denture and mail it to them? I mean, is that something that you would do?
Last year, a patient of ours who's a snowbird, so she vacations in Florida. So the story about the dog eating the denture actually happened. So the patient's dog actually, the patient had their denture soaking overnight on the nightstand, and the dog actually came in and chewed up the dentures. So the patient called us, and within 3 days we had a FedEx package to the patient's house and told her, you have to see a dentist to go have this seated in Florida just to make sure that everything's accurate. You got no sore spots, anything like that. And we made sure we called the dentist and to make sure that she was seen and that there was no issues. But within 3 days, overnight, across the border, I don't even know if that's legal, by the way, but I'm saying the patient was shipped her exact replication of set of dentures and seen by a dentist locally in Sarasota and fitted with her prosthetics. So that's the story I tell the patients, but that is a true story. It has happened. One of my associates, part of what he does is house calls, nursing homes, which I didn't even touch on. And ironically, a really funny story, this patient now today has lost her dentures that he's made her 3 times.
Oh.
And the first time they didn't opt for digital denture because they thought it was too expensive. The second time they still didn't opt for it. And I can tell you now, the third time that the patient lost her denture, they definitely opted for it.
And she hasn't lost it yet?
He has not lost it. But if you look at that scenario of nursing homes and how many visits that takes, and forget about nursing homes. Just look at the geriatric population that either has to have their children or their grandchildren bring them. And if they lost a denture that's not produced digitally, you're 3 to 4 appointments minimum.
Yeah. So I'm hearing this common thread. It's almost like we can't say it enough, the value of being able to replace the denture for the patient, and so many other values as well. But I think it's important that a doctor approach that topic well, and they have a well thought out narrative and a dialogue with the patient and really capture, you know, how this is going to help you feel better about your life. And then it was interesting. The second point you made is how it feels physically, right? So it's first, it's how it feels emotionally, and then it's how it feels physically in the mouth, which I think is really important to highlight as well. I wanted to move on to the next question, which is talking about how a dental laboratory should approach their doctor with the benefits of digital dentures, right? So a lot of labs are getting excited about digital dentures. There's some benefits to the labs as far as processing and producing digital dentures that help their laboratory out. And maybe their doctors don't really quite know much about it, or they're kind of scared about it, or they're, so the labs are trying to educate their doctors and have an intelligent conversation. What type of dialogue or narrative do you think the dental lab should have with his clinician when the lab is approaching him, trying to get him excited about digital dentures?
So that's a great question. And I'll go back to your comment earlier about a hammer in the toolbox. Lest we forget that hammer coming down on that full contour zirconia many, many, many years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
And I'll use that analogy just to get into this a little bit. And, you know, when you look at it from, not that I'm a ceramist or a fixed technician whatsoever, but I do like using analogies, and we look at zirconia and, you know, speaking to the dental labs, do the dental labs go to the doctor and say, you know, this is how I post-process my zirconia. This is how I sinter my zirconia. This is my layering technique. This is what I do. This is what I do. I don't necessarily think many doctors really have an interest in the post-processing, the sintering, and the staining, and the glazing, and the veneering, so on and so forth. What they do care about really is that one thing, is full contour zirconia or zirconia as a whole. So how do labs diversify? What do you do to make this doctor pick you versus lab ABC down the street that's also doing full contour zirconia? So let's take digital dentures for that instance. And the lab needs to approach the dentist on the matter of, okay, doctor, how is this going to benefit you? How is this going to benefit your practice? The one thing that I think is not talked about enough, but is extremely clinically relevant, is the accuracy and precision of record taking with a digital denture. So whether it's milled or printed a try-in, so whether it's a monoblock try-in that's shaded or white or gray for all that matter, that monoblock try-in is more retentive than a standard light cured or photopolymerized resin base or a wax base plate for an occlusal rim registration. Then we look at assessing a try-in. So whether printed or milled, monoblock try-in, which literally it fits like the final prosthesis. So now the doctor can evaluate function, aesthetics, phonetics in a very, very comfortable fitted state, the exact replication of that denture. The clinician can now at that point evaluate and say, wow, this maxillary prosthesis really isn't seated properly, or it is loose. Well, then you can take a wash impression and know that, okay, now I know that this prosthesis is going to fit well. I think in the past, I remember myself saying, okay, Mrs. Smith, we're going to do these wax try-ins now. Please bear in mind, this is not how the final denture is going to fit. It's going to be loose. Immediately, you'd put it in the patient. Well, this is loose. Is this how my denture is going to fit?
Yeah, you're having to apologize for your try-in before you get started.
Even though I preamble it, it still turns into that. Now, today, when I do a try-in, and mostly printed monoblock try-ins, patients, wow, this feels great. This fits really nice. And let's go on to that topic, and I'll really focus on the try-in right now for the clinician. If the centric relation is off, I can take a round pair burr, grind off the posterior teeth, and take a very nice accurate check bite instead of taking off the posterior teeth, melting wax, making myself a little posterior bite block, and having the patient bite in the centric relation. So I think there's a lot of benefits clinically that are not talked about a lot today yet. I know Valerie Cooper talks about this a lot in lectures, and I do see your posts about that, but let's, you know, what's talked about all the time right now is, you know, oh, I milled, I printed, look at this, I did that. Hey, it worked. How is it relevant right to the patient? Like what you're trying to get at today. So I think that's the good introduction of how a lab can really get into their doctor and how does it make their life easier? That's what a clinician wants. How does this make my life easier? How does it make my product better? Then once you've kind of gained and talked to the, so the lab should talk to the dentist also about the reproducibility, like I did earlier in our conversation. Well, hey, doctor, you know, not to worry. If this patient loses their denture, we can get it to you guaranteed within a few days. Let's talk about 5 to 7 to 10 years, depending on what you're telling your patients and the type of materials you're using, when the doctor needs to make a new prosthesis for this patient. So let's say it's 7 years down the road, Mrs. Smith's teeth are completely worn, or just, you know, she wants a new set of teeth. She wants to be revitalized. She wants to increase her vertical dimension. No problem, doctor. You can do this a couple ways. You can take a wash impression in that existing denture, either scan it with your Trios or send us that denture itself. We'll scan it, send it back to you, similar to a reline. Or the best way to do that would be to remill or print that exact try-in that the patient loved, have the doctor take a new wash impression, and you can ideally go right to finish. So telling your doctor that new dentures can be fabricated ideally in one appointment without having to do anything but take a wash impression, that's quite ideal. Then the lab can, you can, once you've gained that trust, that on, you know, that trust from the clinician that wants to prescribe a digital denture, once you've got the clinician to prescribe it, then you can talk about the benefits of the materials. Are we milling bases, printing bases, milling teeth, milling bases, milling teeth? Then you can get into why your lab is better, why your process is better, what do you do post-processing that makes you better than the other. And doctors, dentists, clinicians, denturists love technology. So I'm sure many crown and bridge technicians out there or dental labs have doctors that have Trios. Hey, Dr. Smith, you know you can make a digital denture with your Trios? Let me educate you how to do this. And this is what I said on the panel at IDDDS. The dental lab needs to be the basis of communication and the educator to the doctor on how to make a digital denture. You are the leader. You need to create education programs. You need to talk to the doctor and say, here's why, here's how we can do it. Let's do a lunch and learn. Let's do an evening program at the lab, you know, with 3Shape or whatever system it is you're using, and bring everybody in and educate them. Education is the key to this digital denture world. Again, milling, printing, doesn't matter. Education. Education.
Totally hear that, Eric. And you know what I hear you saying, just to kind of summarize, is that when the lab talks to the doctor, I mean, the accuracy of the try-in, you know, you start off in a very accurate footstep there with an accurate try-in. So you got really good records up front. And then just the long-term record of reusing that try-in down the road, or that data down the road. And then the copy denture workflow, right? Taking an existing denture, even if it's a conventionally made denture, and being able to reline it, scan it. And now you can use those existing teeth position for length and lip support and all that kind of stuff. I mean, from a copy denture perspective, if a patient walks in with conventional dentures, you can go straight to final. What percentage of the time, if you're doing a copy denture, do you go straight to final?
I do that fairly often. And it's funny you're saying that, because that is one great workflow for the labs that are local, you know, work within that 10, 15, 30 kilometer radius to their dentist. Here's a great way to approach it, because I can tell you right now, as much as I'm an avid, you know, suction effective mandibular denture provider from Dr. Abbey, there are some indications where that's not an ideal indication for the patient. That patient that comes in and says, I've had this denture for 30 years. I love everything about this denture. Can you please make it exactly the same? And before, with, you know, the copy denture technique and cross mounting and everything we tried our best to do, the only way to really replicate that exactly the same would be to do it digitally. So getting on that topic back to the labs of the 10, 15, 30 kilometer radius, imagine explaining this to your doctor of, hey, we can do this exactly how we do your denture relines. Take a wash impression and a bite and some photographs. Hey, if you really want to get to the next level, incorporate that UTS CAD bow for the bipupillary and the camper's plane. The lab comes and picks up that denture by 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock, brings it in the laboratory, scans it, designs it, and you ideally could even have the try-in milled or printed by time it's going back to the doctor later that afternoon, just like a reline. I think that's really, really, really advantageous to be able to provide that type of workflow.
I love that. Saving time, making things better. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how sometimes we get seduced as lab technicians. We spend $100,000 on a new piece of equipment, a new mill, a new printer. And I have this opinion, and I'd love to hear what you think, that I actually don't think the patient cares at all on how something's made, right? Like when I bought my shoes, I never considered how it was made, right? I just like the way they fit and the way they look. When I bought my iPhone, I don't know what kind of robotics Apple uses to make this thing. I don't know the exact type of raw materials that I ever heard, like Gorilla Glass and some other cool stuff, but like I haven't really educated myself on how the iPhone's made or the raw materials that the iPhone's made out of. But you know, the benefits of the iPhone in my life or why I bought it, or my shoes or my watch or whatever. And so I think as lab technicians, sometimes we make a big purchase and we're really excited about this Ferrari we just bought for our laboratory. That's going to be amazing.
Sorry, man.
No worries.
No, so you're going to have to restart the whole iPhone thing about you have this theory and you don't care.
Yeah, no problem. We'll do that again.
Internet connection. Staff just got here, so probably the Wi-Fi just went through the roof.
Okay, no problem. We'll just keep going. All right, so Eric, I have this opinion that the average patient doesn't really care how a denture is made. And what I mean by that is, like, when I bought my shoes or I bought my watch, I didn't look into how they were made, how my shoes were made, or maybe even like my iPhone, right? Like, I know this is a nice precision manufactured device, and I'm sure Apple has some really expensive robotics that they've used and some really awesome raw materials and circuitry in this thing, but I never cared how Apple made my phone. What I cared about is how the phone benefited my life. And so I have this opinion that I think if labs get overly communicative to their doctors about what type of printer they bought and how they're making something, they can kind of lose them, because it's not about how something's made. It's about how it benefits the doctor and how it benefits the practice. And just wanted to get your take on that. If you think the patient cares at all, if it's made digitally or if it's printed or it's milled, or if they just care that they can get it replaced.
So I agree and disagree.
Awesome.
Being hands-on with those patients all day, every day, I actually hear whether they care about that or not.
Good.
Because I am the one somewhat convincing them. I don't like convincing. I say providing options. You know, we look how FaceTime changed the world. Look at what you and I are doing right now.
I know.
So I can tell you, I actually do care about how someone thought about this and how it works, because I think it's very interesting. I can tell you on a patient perspective, when I talk about full arch rehabilitation and dental implants, and the first thing they say is, well, what are those things made of? Are they the same things that were put in my hip? Because my hips are titanium. Why do they know that? Why do they know that a hip and a knee replacement is titanium?
Do they know that titanium osseointegrates better than other raw materials, or they just know it's titanium?
They just know it's titanium.
That's right.
But patients like technology. And I think, and I speak more to the geriatric population, but then again, I mean, we have patients that are, believe it or not, 25, 30, 35. I'll tell you a story about a patient and why he cared. So this was a patient we did an immediate complete maxillary digital denture for. And he said, what is a digital denture? He said, explain that to me. How do they make these things? He goes, do they put them on some 3D printer or something like that? I think because these people are wearing these patients are wearing these removable prosthetics all day, every day. I think you have to make them be inquisitive about it. And I don't say make them as in be forceful, but allow them to engage into that technology. You know, we look at, you know, Bella's 3D app. Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Scans your face. What can you do with that? Well, Mrs. Smith, we can actually import this into our denture software and look at this. Oh my God, that's so cool. So getting back to that patient, he went home and told his wife, his daughter, his kids. Then he had dinner with his friends the next night. He was telling all of them that he's getting this digital denture. Patients are now proud and excited to talk about removable. It's cool now. It's not like it was before.
We're making removables cool again.
We're making removables specs again. And it's funny, when I was in Liechtenstein a few weeks ago, that's what we were talking about is, Eric, we're making dentures sexy again. You're making dentures sexy.
They were never sexy.
No. They were never dentures were looked at. You're the guy in the basement slinging, you know, stone and plaster and flasking and packing and inhaling monomer and killing all your brain cells. But no, really getting back to that. So this patient came back and said, hey, I just want you to know, like, I told everybody and they can't believe how my dentures are being made. Patients care. And you have to make them care. So removable, whether it was in the lab or even in the clinic, was always shined upon. It was not the sexy crown and bridge ceramics, right? Look at this full arch rehabilitation with 14 units of crowns with a tooth library that Lee Culp designed 10 years ago. You know, look how nice this EMAC Zircad case is. Go through LMT. Tell me how many full page ads, maybe today now, but over the last 5 years, how many full page ads were taken out for removable? None. It's all full contour zirconia. You know, now it's... You open it up, EMAC Zircad Multi, inside cover, right? Removable wasn't looked at that way. So kind of getting back to your question, do they care? I think once you educate them enough, they will care. And I think we look at materials and summarize in a good, better, best. What is best? In my opinion, milled base, milled teeth. What is good? Maybe it's a printed base and milled teeth. Or sorry, better, that is. What is good? Do we look at what is good enough or what is good? I don't know yet. That's always a topic of conversation, but maybe good is printed base and printed teeth. But educating that patient on what they're going to have in their oral cavity, 16, 17, 18, and some patients, 24 hours a day, they do care. And it's our job as professionals. The one talking to that end user, like I told you before, so imagine I can do this for you, Mrs. Smith, digitally replicated. They do care, believe it or not. And some don't. Some patients, and I have them. I don't care how you make them. Just make sure they're the same thing and I can eat good with them. I have patients that have had the same denture for 40 years that the length of the clinical crown is 2 millimeters and I can see the diatorics because they're so worn out. So some patients care, some don't. Some doctors care, some don't. Some lab technicians care, some don't. I agree with your theory, and I'm a proponent that everything you're saying is absolutely correct, because I actually don't care. But however, I do care how myself as a clinician and a technician, I care how a printer works. I care about the micron accuracy.
We should. Right? As lab techs, we should care as lab techs about the technology. I think as it filters down closer to the patient, you know, I'll go back to the first thing you said to the patient is, how would it make you feel if I could replace this for you? And I think that's the best place to start. And the point I'm trying to make here is, let me just ask you, I don't think you would lead in with the patient and say, hey, I'm going to make you a digital denture that's 3D printed. How would you like that? Because they don't know what that means yet, right? But what it means is you can replace it. And so that's what you start with. And that's what you highlight. And then as the dialogue is moving forward and how you get that done and your precision and all that, I think comes into play. I guess I just think that if a lab tech approaches their doctor and says, hey, I bought a brand new printer and it's so awesome and I can make you a digital denture, do you want one? I think they miss the boat, because the doctor's like, okay, good for you. You bought a printer. What does that really mean for me? Versus if he leads in and says, okay, doc, how would you like your try-ins to be so much more accurate? How would you like to see patients in less visits? How would you like to go from try-in to final? Or maybe how would you like to potentially go straight to final because things are so much more accurate, right? I think those are the leading value propositions of digital dentures, not so much how it's printed or milled or all those things.
I agree. And it's kind of that concept of listen to your customers and what they want. What does the industry want today? Does a clinician want a digital denture? Maybe they don't know enough about it. But I can tell you right now, at the IDDS in Phoenix in September, 75% of that room were dentists. Not technicians, not denturists, dentists.
Yeah.
And I'll leave with this comment, getting back to the labs, is digital has been in the fixed world for the last, I don't know, Rob, what, 15, 16, yeah. 17 years maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
That's paved the way for removable. Removable really is here. And fixed helped pave the way for that. And I would really like the message here to be, don't resist it. Don't deny it. Use it as a tool. Because it is here, and it is here to stay, and it is only going to continue to get better and better and better.
Totally agree, Eric. I think it's an awesome tool. And, you know, the average dental lab has a laptop scanner, a tabletop scanner. And if you can scan a stone model, you can engage in digital dentures. You can get the software and design it yourself. You know, we as Full Contour can help you design. There's a lot of solutions out there. I think digital dentures are very accessible. People don't quite know that yet. And I really think that 2019 is going to be an awesome year. I agree with you that the magazines are going to have lots of sexy digital dentures in them that we're going to see. I think Chicago this year is going to be exciting with that. So thanks for taking the time. Any parting thoughts for doctors or labs considering digital dentures?
I always say this comment, and it reminds me of my childhood when my parents were forcing me to eat vegetables. Don't knock it until you try it. And unless you eat it, then you can tell me it doesn't work or it doesn't work good. And don't just try one case. Give yourself a good 10 cases. And I think every dental lab out there should do it on a trial basis. Just like when we test drive a car, just like when we do sampling of food at Costco on the weekend down every aisle. Oh, that's pretty good, right? That's how they get you. Yeah. Oh, bacon wrap scallop, Mr. Legere. Oh, you're just down in aisle 5, and we actually have a sale on that today. So really, in all seriousness, embrace the technology. We embrace technology every day. And every lecture I do, the first thing I say is, how many people in this room have a cell phone? Everybody raises their hand. Well, you've already embraced technology. Do it in your practice. So that's what I would say to every lab technician out there, whether you're a fixed technician. And again, yes, we're friends, but I take my friend Lee Culp as a prime example of 2 years ago, you pay him $1 million, he couldn't set up a denture. But now, utilizing digital technology and knowledge of function, aesthetics, occlusion, he is a removable. He is a digital technician now. So the fixed technician and the...
Lee Culp's a removable technician now?
Yeah.
digital removable technician.
But you take a fixed technician and a removable technician, and now we just become digital technician. So embrace the technology, utilize partners like Full Contour, as well as the manufacturers, Carbon, NextDent, Ivoclar. Utilize your outsourcing partners, your technology, the resources that you have out there, and embrace the technology and try it. And if at that point, after you've done 10 cases and you don't like it, you have to do what works for you.
Awesome. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for your time. And always enjoy chatting with you. I'm sure we'll be seeing you soon in the lecture circuit or one of the trade shows, talking about the latest and greatest in digital dentures. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Rob.
Take care, man.
Have a good day.
You too, bud.